Hello, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. This is David Johnson. I'm going to hand it right over to Mac McIntyre, who's going to do some spot hosting. Mac, take it away.
Hack-a-do. Yeah, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. We're going to do all your fun type of talking about entertainment stuff here on the show. That's my planned intro.
That's good.
Also with us is Eric Astroslager. How's it going, Hello. Eric?
Good, good. Dave, now, you passing it to Mac, is that an assist? What's that? It's like a bounce pass or
on the
something?
Streets, we call it a dime. I dropped a dime.
Isn't you drop a dime on someone, isn't that like, you know, ratting on them to the police? Or have I got that wrong? Isn't that a thing?
I don't know. I mean, they're all interchangeable. Like, you know, all those, all the vernacular that involves, you know, loose change.
I thought you were saying all the like old timey
basketball or it's either basketball or snitching.
So all that kind of old timey 40s slang has found a new home in basketball lingo.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because when you want the language of the streets, you come to this podcast.
You do come to this podcast. Absolutely.
So we're just gonna talk about what's been going on lately with us in the world of entertainment. Eric, seen or watched anything fun or interesting lately?
Certainly not basketball. I think everyone probably knows now that Dave is watching basketball
instead of
paying attention to the podcast. I think we can sort of assume that until when are the playoffs? June? May, June-ish?
May, June-ish.
So like a month before that when the Knicks are out of contention, then maybe
absolutely.
Okay, I just want to get that clear. Sorry. How about some oldish news with Eric Astroslager? I finally saw X-Men First Class. And I got it for Christmas on Blu-ray. I hadn't had a chance to watch it yet. And that is a totally okay movie. There's a lot of things about it that I like. A lot of things about it I wasn't crazy about. I think that what I'd heard about the movie going in set my expectations at a reasonable level. You know, if I'd gone in hearing that it was the greatest comic book movie ever, then that would be one thing. Or if everyone said, it's the worst, then I think, you know, I would have expected something else. But I pretty much heard, I think, things that were in line with what I felt when I watched it, that there were, you know, parts of it that kind of went into new territory, a little more character-focused than other comic book movies, and then other parts that were just very much, you know, what you'd expect from a comic book movie.
For me, it kind of all deteriorated after the montage, from the montage on. For some reason, the tone changed, and I just kind of got safe and blah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of safe stuff before then, too. But, I mean, I remember you, especially, Dave, talking about how, you know, the whole Magneto Nazi Hunter stuff was cool, and I expected there to be a lot more of it.
That's true.
It's like 5 minutes of it.
Right.
Like, that was
tantalizingly cool. You know,
it was. There was this one really cool scene of that.
It had a very noir feel, kind of. I don't know, maybe not noir is the right word, but kind of a grittier feel. And then, you know, when everyone started training with a montage, it just kind of seemed to default to standard issue superhero movie. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think I kind of wish the movie focused more on the relationship between Xavier and I'll call him Magneto because I can't remember his last name. Eric, what's his face? And
Mac,
and
what do you got for us?
Eric Lensher.
Okay.
Oh, okay, good. I'm glad I'm not that terrible. It's not like Smith or something. I'm not. Played by Michael Fassbender as I think the only Irish Polish person I've ever seen on screen. So their relationship and the relationship with the woman who would become Mystique, because they sort of that triangle is sort of like the emotional core of the movie, and then they just kind of I think clutter it up as most comic book movies do with just too many side characters. I think that was especially true on the kind of bad guy side. I didn't find any of those bad guy characters interesting. Kind of
even
in line
Kevin
with,
Bacon. I mean, he was chewing through his scenery pretty
Kevin
good.
Bacon was good. I like Kevin Bacon a lot. I think, you know, the character he was playing maybe wasn't the most. I mean, it's kind of hard to describe what he was. He was just sort of a general bad guy.
You know, he just seemed like a dickhead. Like, you know, he just kind of showed up and was a douchebag, and then I don't know.
I mean, that was kind of his superpower, was just being a jerk.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because he is the bad guy in a very different type of, I guess, superhero movie. He's the bad guy in Super, and I liked him way more than that. They're completely, you can't compare them in any other way except that they are vaguely superhero related, and they both have Kevin Bacon as the bad guy. But Kevin Bacon was good. I think another part of it was that I really, really disliked January Jones.
Yeah, Betty
so
Draper
much.
Didn't really bring it, did she?
No, and you know, it's going to be hard to go back and watch her on Mad Men now because I feel like.
Did you really ever think that? I mean, I always thought she was the weakest link in that show.
I think that's true. I think the problem was I always thought she was acting on that show. I always thought she was pretending to be Betty Draper, but it appears that she actually is. Like, that is either that or that's the only character she knows how to play. And so now that I've seen her do the same thing again, and just be really uninteresting and like every line read was flat and frankly watching her try to be sexy was just awkward and painful. It was just kind of lacked a certain something, shall we say? But anyway, I mean those are, you know, they're kind of, you know, they're part of the movie, so they're nitpicks, but they're kind of minor too. I liked, you know, I thought it was shot well. I thought it was put together, you know. Well, I liked that they did have, you know, they didn't just rely on the same X-Men characters as, you know, obviously the later movies, which took place, or the earlier movies, which took place a lot later, or even some of the original X-Men, because I don't think, I mean, Banshee wasn't one of the original X-Men, was he, Mac? He kind of played the Angel character, right?
Right, yeah.
And
shout out to the Hugh Jackman cameo, though, huh?
Yeah, that was nice. I mean, you know,
they wisely used their one allotted F-bomb.
they did. It worked. I mean,
you gotta always use that, implement that wisely.
Sure. I mean, you know, I think from an objective perspective, kind of a completely unnecessary scene and just totally fan service porting to the other movies. But yeah, it was still kind of awesome. So I liked it okay. I didn't love it, but that's kind of par for the course for a lot of comic book movies. So I can't complain.
Very good. Mac. Oh, you're the host. All right.
No, I'm okay. What's
oh, my
going
goodness.
On?
Whoa.
All right, Mac.
Power struggle. So, I'll turn it back to you then, Dave. Other than the thrilling, exciting basketball game, what else have you been catching
well,
up?
Well, let's see. I haven't gotten – definitely haven't gotten out to the theater, so I'm just trying to think of – Well, I feel like we're playing catch-up on our DVR. There's just a lot of backlog stuff just catching up on. But Supernatural is still going pretty strong, which we tend to enjoy around here. Same with Fringe. I mean, nothing terribly fascinating. I think Justified still remains the preferred show around the Johnson household.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was close to maybe going out to see The Gray, you know.
Oh yeah,
Safe Wolves, House, yeah. One of the two movies I was, you know, thinking about doing that. That's the closest I've come to actually going to the theater, thinking about going to see one of those movies. Like, that might be a good movie to take my dad to, but I don't know. I heard mixed reactions to both of them, so I was like, eh.
Now, Dave, if you were to put a score on your decision making process for that, you know, just give us a brief review of how you think you did on deciding to not go to the movies.
Deciding not to go to the movies?
Yeah. I mean, you could just do it as a small
I think a solid A+, because I didn't really end up going to the movies, so.
Well, okay, can you just translate it to DVD verdict terms? We don't really have a letter grade scale. Just consistency is all.
Okay, I will say not guilty. How about that?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I will add this. I've been, this is some brief video game news, but I've been, my life has been sucked dry by Kingdoms of Amalur: The Reckoning, with a shout out to Kurt Schilling. His company, you know, was one of the developers in that game. But that has been lovely, lovely game for me.
Like a role playing game.
It is.
Like
so there's like
stuff?
It's got that Skyrim kind of. It's huge, and there's tons of stuff to do, and tons of weapons and blah blah. But what I really like about it is that it's the action and the combat is fun and just enjoyable. So it's really got the best of both worlds for me. All it needs is a ninja, and I'd be totally greatest game ever.
Nice. I saw that you were playing the Mass Effect demo at one point.
Yeah.
Were you playing that so you could get the item in Kingdoms of Amalur?
I was not doing that, but that did show up. It did show up, and I probably got rid of it because it's pretty underpowered. But yeah, Mass Effect 3, that's coming out. That looks pretty cinematic. I put some money down to pre-order, but I'm not, you know, I've been thinking about it. I'm not sure if I'm going to go through with it.
Interesting. You were so high on the second game.
I love Mass Effect 2 dearly, and I have no reason to think Mass Effect 3 won't be great either, but for some reason I'm thinking maybe I kind of wait until it gets cheaper and then, you know, then pick it up.
Sure,
because as we all know, around the same launch window, we have a little something called Ninja Gaiden 3. So,
I was going to. There are two games later in the year, both of which you turned me on to. The first, entries in. We have I can't remember the names. Borderlands 2 come. They just announced a release date in September.
Okay, yeah, great.
And then Darksiders 2.
Oh, really?
June. Yeah, yeah.
So did you play the first Darksiders, Mac?
Yeah.
Oh, Mac. I haven't, but I've seen that the price has dropped on that.
I think you would like that.
It's a great game.
Yeah, that's true. The more I read about that, the more it looks just the
same. I mean, those are probably my two most anticipated games right now for 2012.
Yeah, I think.
And thanks to you.
Yes, the more you know. That's what I can do. But yeah, that's I agree. Both those are pretty awesome. But yeah, Ninja Gaiden 3 is certainly on my radar. Resident Evil 6 looks, I'll probably be all over that. So there's some stuff in here that I'll jump on board.
Sequels again. We're talking about sequels.
Just sequels, sequels. So that's all I got, Mac. Not very sexy. But if you want to support, Massachusetts game development and Red Sox Hall of Fame pitchers, Kingdoms of Apple.
Well, for me, just earlier today, just before recording this podcast, I went and saw the new Ghost Rider movie. Another sequel. And so Nicolas Cage is back as Johnny Blaze, the Ghost Rider.
Yeah, please do tell, because we actually saw the first one.
That's right.
Our Merrimack outing.
Yeah, that's right. Boy, what can I say? Well, okay, it's directed by Neville Dean Taylor, which is actually two guys, the guys who made Crank and Crank 2.
Okay.
And with the first Ghost Rider, I kind of lamented how, they took this movie about, Satan and demons, and they tried to make it into like this, huge Hollywood blockbuster to appeal to the whole family. And I felt that was something of a misstep, and I kind of wanted to see sort of a leaner, meaner take on the character, which is more or less what this is.
Is it so better than the first one?
That's relative.
Okay.
So Johnny Blaze, he's in Eastern Europe because it's cheaper to film there.
True.
There's a lot more
terrorists available, a lot more bad guys. They're always looking to rob something or take someone hostage, those Eastern Europeans.
Well, we got plenty of Eurotrash bad guys for him to fight in this one. and he's still moping around because, I'm cursed, I'm the Ghost Rider, feel bad for me. But he gets the opportunity to be free of his curse if he helps these monks rescue this child, because the child is actually the long-lost son of Satan himself. Although, in this movie, though, he's not called Satan or Lucifer. He's Rourke. That's the name of the devil in this movie.
Oh, okay.
Rourke. And, Peter Fonda played the devil in the first movie, and he was actually pretty funny in that part.
Man, I have zero memory of that movie. The only memory of that movie is that, we lament that, that they team up. One rides a motorcycle, the other rides a horse, and then the guy just leaves.
Right. Well, have fun in your battle. I'm going to go take off now.
That's right.
So I'm just confused. Why did they make a sequel of that Roman Polanski movie? Anyone? No. Okay.
You
had to go Ghost Rider. And I didn't see it, but I heard it existed. So
took me a minute for that.
It's okay.
All right.
Is that what you're
telling me?
I guess. I mean, just a few weeks ago, I rewatched The Road Warrior.
Ooh, love that.
Yeah, that's a great movie. And the big finale in Ghost Rider is, I'm definitely nodding my head a lot going, they're trying to do a Road Warrior type of thing, because it's very reminiscent of Road Warrior at the end.
Okay.
But not as good. Basically the whole thing takes place out in the desert. There's no towns or anything. And I guess they go to a truck stop at one point, to which I respond, Eastern Europe has truck stops now? It's not like in the first one where he's driving up the sides of buildings and all that crazy stuff isn't here because they couldn't afford it. I really wanted to have Peter Fonda back as the devil again in this one. I think that would have made it so much better and really kind of – because in the first movie, Peter Fonda was just sort of there. The bad guy was that guy Blackheart. And in this one, the devil, he is the bad guy. So it's like building on the first movie. But instead of Peter Fonda, we get this random – guy playing Rourke as the devil. So I guess the villain was pretty weak is what I'm saying, even considering he's the devil.
All I know is he spent a lot of time pretty much selling me on the fact that this movie is incredibly mediocre.
Yes. we do have Nicolas Cage, and Nicolas Cage, he's really kind of all twitchy and bug-eyed and yelling a lot. And there's that. And Ghost Rider himself has got something of a makeover. You probably saw in the ads that the skull is like all charred and burned and darkened now. And it looks pretty cool at night, at the night scenes, when it's dark behind him and the flames come up and the skull itself is also dark. That's pretty cool. So those are your pluses. The little kid he makes friends with, it's a movie little kid, so he's all precocious and mischievous and asks innocent darling questions. Yeah, I guess you kind of hit it there, Dave. Profoundly mediocre.
All right.
So next, let's talk about what we've got coming up for the site to review. Eric, what have you got for us?
See, this week I'm reviewing a BBC series called The Fades, which is sort of a supernatural horror series. Okay. I've seen one episode so far because the product was a little bit delayed by the long weekend, but the first episode it ended stronger. I think it was a little confusing at first. I think, you know, these kind of series have to set up a lot of mythology, and this one's kind of dumps you right in and lets you kind of pick up the pieces. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be interesting to watch, considering, you know, I've recently seen Misfits, the sci-fi series, and Being Human, which is, you know, the BBC seems their other big kind of horror series, and I really like that one. So this one sort of features a high school kid who has the ability to see ghosts, and I guess they're not really zombies, but he's got to kind of, you know, fight them or something. We'll see what the second episode has in store. Stay tuned for that.
Okay. Yeah, they've been running ads for that for months in all the comic books. They're really, going after the comic book readers big time with ads for The Fades.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, The Walking Dead has obviously been a big hit. This isn't the same thing at all, but, right. You know, get them on board.
Hey, Dave, what about you? What have you got coming?
Definitely got one movie I want to give a shout-out to. It's a Korean movie called War of the Arrows, and it is one of those overseas gems that I just love coming across, and I had low hopes for this. I was thinking, it's another period epic type of thing, and those have just been kind of, seems like every week 10 or 12 show up at my door, and then I was like, okay. I mean, you know, the big large scale battles that frankly have kind of gotten boring since Lord of the Rings, you know? So, so I kind of went in there with low expectations, but this movie is really badass. I mean, I would compare it to like Apocalypto or Centurion or something like that, because this is the second half of the movie is basically a foot race between this archer and a squad of like high-end Chinese soldiers who are kind of seeking revenge, and they're just kind of running after each other, and they're racing to get the archer's sister, pretty much. There's like political implications, but essentially it's this big chase film. I mean, it's really close to Apocalypto because it even has a jungle cat attack. We got a tiger attack in this, but
sweet.
But you would think, how much coolness can a bow and arrow generated slaughter be? But it is cool. It is exciting, and it's a hard R, so, you know, pretty spurtalicious as far as the blood goes. But legit. So War of the Arrows. If definitely check. I would highly recommend it. Highly recommend it.
Very cool. For me, I got some another classic Doctor Who disc. It's from the fifth Doctor. It's the Caves of Androzani. And it was the last episode they filmed with the fifth Doctor before he regenerated. So a lot of interest in that one. You know, the fans always love the regeneration episodes. And the villain in this one, he is this guy dressed in all in like black leather with this mask on, and he reminded me so much of the title character from The Phantom of the Paradise. I kept waiting for Paul Williams to come around in the room and start, you know, brokering to steal people's souls and stuff.
Well, I've never seen that. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Phantom of the Paradise?
Sorry.
Oh, man, that movie's crazy.
I haven't seen it either, but Patrick talks about it on this week's, this movie podcast. One of his top five favorite movies.
There you go.
Bring it together.
Yeah. You guys got to check out Phantom of the Paradise.
That's, yeah, I want to. Brian De Palma, right?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
It is. I just listened to it. I can actually probably tell you more about that movie without having seen it than you can remember. But anyway. I digress.
All right, but yeah, so Doctor Who, you know, again, talking about your low budgets, you know, the characters are running around these caves all the time. We keep hearing that there are these two armies at war with each other. We never see the armies, though, but you know, it's Doctor Who. You kind of have to take your medicine with stuff like that. But so I don't know if it's probably definitely not my favorite episode. I don't know if it's one of the best they've ever done, but it is a regeneration episode, and it's nice to have it on DVD. Let's move on and take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the Upcoming Releases tab, and then we're going to scroll down to the Cover Art Gallery for February 28th and just see what's on the list here. Probably the big release of the week would have to be Hugo from Martin Scorsese.
That's right.
Sort of a magical, whimsical kids' fantasy.
Now, could anybody explain to me why Johnny English got a sequel?
Oh, man.
Really? I don't know.
Sure. I mean, it's... He's...
The fans demanded it.
I guess. Okay. All right.
Dave, you seem to be forgetting that it is a fun, a hilarious comedy. Okay. And also hysterically funny.
I did forget that, actually.
And also coming out on Blu-ray. This is what I'm reading.
Hey, Mac, how about this Justice League Doom? What is that? You know anything about that?
A little bit. That's the latest, you know, from the DC animated release. If I understand it correctly, and if I'm wrong, I welcome our listeners to write in and correct me, but as I understand it, this is based on the Justice League story where the other members of the League have discovered that Batman has these contingency plans on how to take out the other members of the League if they ever go evil.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
And then there's like a Survivor-style vote where they all vote on whether or not to keep Batman in the League.
I like that.
I think that was an episode of The Office.
Yeah, that's right. I might have to check that out. That's kind of cool. I like that. Yeah. See, how about Bounty Hunters starring Trish Stratus? That looks pretty awesome.
Am I supposed to know who that is?
Yeah, it's something to do with wrestling. But
oh.
Born to Race of the Number 2. That's creative.
Good. So is that a sequel or isn't it?
I don't know. Born Race, would that be the first one?
Yeah, you're right. Dave, you're a big fan of the Top Gear, correct?
Yeah, Top Gear 17. I'm not sure if that ran on the site yet, but I did review that, and it's another excellent episode, but another excellent series, so yeah, big fan.
Well, I must have seen this when I was a kid, I don't remember, but the Pac-Man cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Hanna-Barbera series is getting a release here.
Yeah, it's not the best cartoon.
Really? I find that hard to believe that a cheaply made cartoon from my childhood is not good.
That's all I got, Mac. I got nothing else.
All right. Well, definitely, you know, as you're perusing the site. You know,
yeah, Pac-Man's arms look huge.
Yeah, he's buff.
He's like way out of proportion. But
anyway, it was the 80s, a lot of steroids.
That's true, a lot of steroids. It was a steroid era for them.
It really was.
Right. Sorry,
if there's a character we want to be, you know, biologically in proportion perfectly, that would have to be Pac-Man.
I mean, well, isn't he eating those power pills?
Yes, his power pills.
Yes.
You know what I mean. And he's always seeing ghosts. A lot of subtext in the Pac-Man.
Lost in a maze. Yeah.
Exactly. It really, this is your brain on drugs.
You got Ms. Pac-Man hooked on it, too.
Yes. You know, Pac-Man fever, if you ever wonder what that was, now you know.
That's right.
A little cold turkey action.
Okay, also known as the DTs. That's what
exactly. All
right, well, feel free to peruse all these links and check them out, and all your DVD verdict. And before we move on, what is our picks for this week's most inadvertently sleazy-sounding DVD release of the week?
I do have to say, maybe this is quickly off-topic, but one of the greater juxtapositions of DVD releases are two that sound the same, Man to Man and Man to Man. Yeah, I think they're slightly different. I remember this day. You don't see that happen very much.
You don't.
Okay. All right, inadvertently sleazy sound. Okay, who do you want to go first, Mac? Who are you going to call?
Okay, let's see. Go for it, Eric.
All right, I'm going with Mandrill.
That's good.
It's actually Mandrill.
That's good.
I'll say it just a little bit different.
I like that. Okay, I'll go with the low-hanging fruit, the Angry Beavers.
There you go. And for me, let's see, how about Monstro?
Monstro. That's good.
And from there, we'll move on to the final segment of our show is the ambush topics. We've each come up with a topic that we're going to spring on the other two, and we haven't seen these before the show. We have no idea what each other has in mind. So why don't you start it off there, Eric?
All right. Well, I came up with this a few days ago, before I even realized that this is the beginning of Lent, but I think it ties in well. This is going to involve a bit of self-reflection on all of our parts. Well, but
that's a lot of work.
Maybe
this game's over.
All right, that's good. Phew. I think, during this show, for as long as we have, when it comes to the ambush topic segment, I think we all have kind of go-to movies and TV shows that, wells that we dip back into time and again. So I'm going to challenge each of us to pick one movie or TV show that we, use often in the ambush section and to permanently retire it. Put it up on a shelf and never use it again. So we all think of one that we're willing to do that for. One, and it has to be one that you use with some frequency. And no matter what the future ambush topics might be, you can never use it again. Even if it's Warwick Davis fantasy movies, whatever you choose, just spitballing. Whatever it is, you have to pick one and just put it up on a shelf. You have to hang up the number and just.
Well, the first one that jumps to mind is the only one I can think of right now that we've used multiple times, Mac. I think it's Great Beards. So maybe it's time.
I don't remember. I've never heard you use that, but I don't know.
I think
we've
done it a couple times. I think it was one of the early ones was a Great Beards, and I think Mac, you had done it before.
Oh no, I'm sorry, not topics.
Oh,
not a topic.
Movies you use for the topic?
A movie, a favorite movie, a favorite TV show, one that you tend to maybe lean on a little bit too heavily.
I'll go with the TV show Great Beards. No, I don't know. I don't know. Boy, I don't know if I'm willing to do that. That's a lot.
It is. I mean, I think it's a matter of we're growing, we're moving forward, we're putting aside childish things, we're whatever, however you want to look at it. Set it aside, pick one. Make it hurt, give till it hurts. I can go first.
What's the timetable on this? When is it?
This is never permanent. Comes back? Never comes back.
Or just until Lent season is over.
No, we can know. You never. So you can never use it on another Friday filibuster again. For an answer to an ambush topic, you can reference it in jokes. You can still use it in other. It's not like you never make reference to it. Just only in the ambush topic section. I'll go first.
All right.
Just to show you how serious I am. I will never use The Simpsons as an answer to an ambush topic again.
Okay, yeah, that is serious.
I've leaned on that heavily in the past. I'm never going to do it again. It's my gift to you, listeners, who hate The Simpsons. I know you're out there.
Oh, man. This is dramatic.
We need our crutches around here. Every time I think of them, I just think, no, I don't want to not talk about Airwolf anymore.
we're more than 2,000 episodes into the DVD Verdict podcast, Dave. We have to. This is the dawning of a new
2,000.
Isn't that right? 2,000.
Seems like we hit that number up,
the Busters were 2,000, weren't they? Or 1,000?
Oh, we've recently
hit a milestone of indeterminate number. Just if you want to think about it for a while, we can move on to other ambush topics, and then you can come back to it. I'm willing to give you some time. This is an ambush. It's an ambush topic.
All right, I'll go. I'll retire Star Trek.
No.
Oh, okay.
Adam, come on. Adam, wow. Star Trek?
There's more. Look, Dave, there are plenty of other fish in the sea.
I enjoy Mac's vast Star Trek knowledge.
He said Star Trek, not Star Wars.
He throws some Trek around. For sure.
Well, he still has another star in his pocket, Dave.
All right, well, I'll retire He-Man, I guess.
Oh.
All right.
Sad.
Boom. On record.
On record. For now. We'll see.
I have bullied you into this for at least for now, at least until we forget that we did this. But anyway.
All right, Mac, what do you got? Who's next? Who do you want next?
Let's see here. Why don't you go next, Dave?
Okay. Here we go. Solid mass going in, liquid coming out. Whatever that means to you.
I'm going to go with Fargo.
Good.
With the wood chipper scene in Fargo.
This is good, like a Rorschach test here. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? That horrible scene comes to your mind.
I'm really on the I think on the grand spectrum of solids to liquids. I think I'm in pretty good stead.
That's a pretty good one.
Going human body to blood. I think
that's solid. That is solid.
Pretty tasteful. Yes.
Well, I believe the blob first came to Earth in a meteor, which is a rock. It cracked open, and then the blob came out and killed everybody.
Okay. I like that. It's being creative. That's good. Okay, well, I'll build on Eric's answer and say, does it get any more indicative than Johnny Depp's death in Nightmare on Elm Street?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's pure. I mean, I don't think there are any chunks in there, right? It was just, it was like V8. It was a V8 shower, so. All right, that was you, Mac, right?
All right, that was me. Well, my initial idea isn't going to work here, so let's see.
Oh, come on.
Was it Star Trek?
No, it wasn't. Oh, okay.
Pick someone from He-Man. Put him in a Star Trek episode.
Yeah, and what would Homer do if he was?
Exactly. Well, we could all answer for each other.
Oh, I see.
There are legal loopholes. I mean, I've,
you know. I'm sure you own the wealth of knowledge of He-Man that I do.
Gray Skull.
There you go.
That's a thing, right? Okay.
Okay, how about cat-like aliens?
What was your original one? What was your original one going to be?
I had found this community trivia quiz online because community is coming back. I was going to.
Well, that would have been good.
I can't find it. It's not on the site anymore. Somebody took that would have
been, been
good.
So I was going to. So that'll have to be.
Another but that is news, obviously. Is that
that's. Yeah, no, it's big.
Parks and Rec is disappearing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. See, why must they pit us against each other?
I guess they just put them all together and, like, kick 30 Rock over to Whitney's or something. I don't know. Yeah. All right, what are we, cat-like aliens?
Cat-like
sure.
Aliens. Sure, he says. It's your hamper shopping. And he says, sure.
Okay, I'll go with the obvious one. But what's the definition of alien? You know, I mean, the Thundercats never landed on Earth to do anything, did they?
No, they never.
But, I mean,
they were on. Let's see. I mean, I don't know if the new series has anything to do with the old series, but I'm pretty sure that takes place on Third Earth.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Earth. Where they fight Mum-Ra, right?
Oh yeah, of course.
That sounds pretty alien. Yeah.
Well, there you go, Thundercats for schnitzel.
That's good.
You know, in the eventual live action one, they will make it to Earth and make friends with a precocious little kid and all that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And probably fart.
Oh yeah,
I'm just guessing.
At least one litter box joke for sure. Know that. How about alien like cats? Could you do that one?
Okay.
Oh,
you got one?
Yes.
Well, when you put it that way, it seems like Alf would be a good answer.
That's right. Some shaving and some light cosmetic surgery, and we made our cat into an alien like cat.
I don't think I've seen enough of the Laser Cats shorts on Saturday Night Live to know if they ever had any cats that stood in as aliens. So I can't use that as my answer, unfortunately. Aliens. It's got to be an alien.
Yeah, alien cat.
All right. While you're thinking, I'll go ahead and go.
All right, go ahead.
I was thinking of the Reek, which is one of the three giant monsters that comes into the arena in Star Wars Episode II, and famous for being the one that slashed Natalie Portman's outfit.
Bared her midriff.
Bared her midriff, yes. And all the nerds in the audience fainted. And I even have the Reek right here. Listen. Oh, the batteries need to be changed. Never mind. Nothing's working for me tonight. Okay.
All right, you got anything? You want some help there, Eric?
Well, I mean, there's the cat in the movie Alien.
Jonesy.
That's okay. That is good.
Jonesy. How about I take it more literally, cat? Like alien. I can't say for sure the cat didn't like the alien. He might have. Cats are so hard to read.
You're really working the syntax angle.
That's all I've got left, Dave.
Would you say the Avatar idiots are aliens? Kind of, I mean, I guess they're aliens, but they're on
their own world. They're cat-like. Well, they're not from Earth.
And what about the Earth Girls Are Easy? Didn't Jeff Goldblum and Jim Carrey and Damon Wayans, weren't their forms cat-like?
Yes, they're very cat-like. Yeah.
Boy, this is like a dream ambush topic.
And see, Dave, see how free and open you are to find things now that
you're
not saddled by He-Man?
I was actually trying to think if there's a cat-like alien from He-Man, but I don't think there's a battle cat.
Don't.
Battle cat.
Dave. David Reginald Vell Johnson. Made a promise. A sacred pact on a podcast. On a podcast, Dave.
I broke the sacred pact. Well, on that note, Mac, you got to take us away. You got to free us with this.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap things up here. And just definitely thanks, everybody, for listening. You know, check out all our other great podcasts at DVDverdict.com and click on some of those Amazon links. Help support the site. And with that, Eric, take us out.
Thunder, 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 thunder cats.